Are you curious about the economic forces shaping your daily life? The Planet Money podcast from NPR makes sense of the economy in ways you'll actually understand and enjoy. Guys, you love listening to the rundowns. I get some of that information from this NPR Planet Money podcast, especially recently with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz. You're just kind of getting those updates as they come from these guys. They put out a ton of awesome content. It's a different perspective from Crypto 101, but still a great listen. So go over there and check out the Planet Money podcast if stuff like current events and the finance world interest you. Each story on Planet Money starts with a question. Recent episodes ask why Pokemon cards are growing faster than your retirement account. Questions about the war, just like we talked about recently a lot on our program, from the job market to the stock market to prices at the supermarket. Planet Money explains it all. Planet Money is a different kind of world where the complex economy somehow makes sense, where human stories supersede abstract theories so you can learn, laugh, and be entertained. It's econ, but just down to earth. The hosts go to unusual lengths to explain the economy. They've published their own book to track the global supply chain. They've shot a satellite into space to understand the economics of the private space industry. They've gone inside a live book auction to show how ideas get to market. It's the kind of show where you learn something, probably laugh, and walk away seeing the world a little differently. And I think if you like Crypto 101, you'll enjoy Planet Money. So maybe check that out. Follow NPR's Planet Money podcast and understand how money shapes the world. I'll be honest. Once it gets hot out, I'm not trying to overthink outfits. I want something that's comfortable, breathable, and still looks like I tried a little bit. That's where Quince is coming for me, and I absolutely love their 100% linen drawstring pants with the matching short sleeve button down that I just got from Quince. Guys, it's exactly the kind of thing I want in the summer. Super easy to throw on, doesn't feel stiff, it doesn't feel heavy, it's breathable, and it looks clean without being too dressed up. It's basically vacation energy without looking like you packed in 5 minutes, and you can have that vacation energy all summer long at home as well. Quince does high quality essentials without the luxury markup. We're talking linens, organic cotton, tees, lightweight sweaters, all the stuff that you actually wear. Their European linen pants and shirts are a great warm weather upgrade, and the price is right. They're starting at just $34, and pricing is a big part of it. Everything at Quince is 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman. So you're paying for quality, not just the logo. And they go way beyond clothing. You've heard me talk about how much I love the Quince website. They have bedding, cookware, sofas. It's one of those sites where you go for one thing and end up staying for many more. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another action-packed episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. Today, I am your solo host, my good buddy, Mr. Brendan Veman, my co-host. He has become ill. He was on a cruise. He came back. And I don't want to say the H word, the hantavirus word, but I don't know. He doesn't look good. So prayers up for Brendan. We hope that he's healing up. But man, I've got an incredible guest. I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this all week to speak with you, Mr. Will McAvoy, who you are running Cypherpunk, the CIO at Cypherpunk, as well as running Winklevoss Cap, the investments over there, Winklevoss Capital. Will, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am very excited. So Cypherpunk is a publicly traded company under the ticker CYPH. And it is all about Zcash. And so if you guys who are listening have heard about Zcash, maybe you've seen the price charts go completely vertical in Q4 of last year, and you're curious about what it is, well, make sure you stick around for this episode because we're going to really unpack exactly what Zcash is, what Cypherpunk is, and what this opportunity looks like. But before we get too deep into the weeds, Will, we just want to get acquainted with you, the audience. We want to know a little bit about who you are, why you're the man for the job, and, you know, high level what you're working on.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you summed it up. CIO at Cypherpunk, we're a privacy technology company. So what that means is, I mean, we like to call ourselves public privacy. So we're the only public company that's entirely focused on privacy technology, which is really crazy when you think about how important privacy actually is. It's truly like a prerequisite to many of the fundamental rights that you would cherish as an American, like freedom of speech and so on. So we launched that business at the end of last year. Our first goal is to accumulate at least 5% of the Zcash network. We're at just under 1.9% today. So we're sort of conducting a fairly straightforward treasury strategy to accomplish that. But we're not stopping there. We think there's a ton of white space to operate in the privacy tech landscape, right? You're going to want privacy tooling for every part of your life, right? You're going to want to be able to trust it in the same way that you can trust Zcash for your, for that lane of financial privacy that it offers. So we launched that business towards the end of last year. I'm also a principal at Winklevoss Capital, working closely with Cameron and Tyler on their investments, where we invest in a wide range of technologies, not just crypto or not just privacy tech. So we've obviously spent a lot of time in AI and robotics. We've done a bit in defense tech and healthcare and longevity. So that's what we've been doing at Winklevoss Capital for about 4 years now. Before joining up with Cameron and Tyler, I was at Funstrat working with Tom Lee.
The man, friend of the show.
Who's awesome. Tom is great. Taught me a lot about crypto research and macro research. So that was a really great learning experience. And then here we are today.
Incredible. Man, some great folks to work with. And you kind of hit the nail on the head that privacy is kind of just this fundamental human right that without it, I mean, what would our life be? It would be very, very different, very interesting. But also kind of at the top of the call, I'm like, is privacy just an illusion? Like, does it actually exist in America? Obviously we have like the Patriot Act and we've got, you know, the NSA and the CIA. Everybody's always, you know, saying, oh, you know, none of your texts are private. All of your stuff, even if your social media says it's private, people could still look at it. Your ChatGPT history could get subpoenaed by the government. So is privacy actually an illusion or can you actually have it?
Well, I certainly think that you can actually have it. And I think that's an important goal that we should always strive for, that we should continue to strive for. And the way we strive for it is building technologies that actually preserve privacy. Mm-hmm. To your point though, it is clear that we've been on this steady decline since, I don't know, call it the advent of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have had less and less privacy every single year, right? The internet comes out, a little bit of time. Smartphones come out. That's kind of a core stepwise decrease or step down in privacy. Social media comes out. That's another step down. Mm-hmm. AI, I think, is the latest step down in privacy. It's, I think, the largest step down that we've seen in our lifetimes. And the core reason for that is that AI is sort of inherently anti-privacy from the perspective of these systems work much better the more data and information they have about you, right?
The memory.
the memory. And so maybe today people are just thinking about, oh, it's like your ChatGPT history. It's like, you know, asking, you know, it's like the research you did on crypto or something like that. But you're in the future, and even starting today, you're really going to want to give a lot of information to AI to, at the very least, make it the absolute best assistant, business partner, colleague for you, right? Mm-hmm. So in that dynamic, you're also going to want to at least try to retain a bit of privacy. And that's the lane that these privacy-preserving technologies can play in, almost acting as like the other side of the coin to AI. Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you know, we're hopeful that with a technology like Zcash or with some other privacy preserving technologies, we can take back a little bit of that power. And it almost seems like, you know, Satoshi, when he started Bitcoin, he realized, you know, he's like, you know, we want this form of money that is censorship resistant, issued outside of any centralized government. But close to the end of his, you know, reign, he did realize that it kind of lacked privacy. And there was some comments and stuff between him and Hal Finney about how, you know, kind of the perfect version of Bitcoin would have zero knowledge proofs, and it ended up becoming Zcash. And so how did you kind of discover Zcash, and what made Cypherpunk, you know, want to go all in on Zcash as the, you know, the end all be all of privacy, if you will, beyond just money? I mean, I imagine in the future, like how there's apps built on Ethereum, you could have apps built on Zcash and stuff. But what made you guys decide on Zcash is like, all right, that's the one we're going to dedicate our careers to?
Yeah, well, obviously Cameron and Tyler have spent, have been around crypto since the beginning of mm-hmm. Bitcoin. So they were there. They observed the launch of Zcash. They've been following it since 2016. So they've been following it for a decade, right? So they've been thinking about it super in depth for a decade. When I joined a few years ago, we were sort of playing around. We were sort of in the early innings of, like, you know, how do we turn this into a business? You know, what is actually the importance of privacy? And then a couple of years ago, when AI came out, it was very clear that this is a major catalyst for sort of a pro-privacy movement. Because AI is going to decrease privacy so significantly, you can sort of think about privacy as a scarce resource, right? Mm. If the supply of that resource continues to decline, you can sort of expect that the price is going to go up, right? Sort of simple supply and demand. We also have a lot of confidence on the demand side of the equation, such that when people start to realize that they have no privacy, they're going to want to demand it. So we were sort of tinkering around with the idea, with these ideas. It was also obvious to us that, like, Zcash was really cool from a technology perspective. It was also really cool from a talent perspective. Mm. It has, like, some of the most established and world-class cryptographers and engineers working on it. And then it was simultaneously completely overlooked, right? It was trading in the mid-teens at one point, mid-teens of 20s to 30s.
There were memes about it, that there was nothing heavier in the universe than a black hole except your Zcash bags.
Exactly. So, I mean, from that perspective, it was very contrarian, because what we were observing was contrary to how the market was valuing it. Mm. And then last year, we were also thinking about sort of, you know, what is actually the evolution of these digital asset treasury companies, right? That there is this arbitrage that they're utilizing, where, you know, you can economically in a very economically positive way raise equity, buy tokens, and it's this beneficial flywheel. So we sort of last year put all of those ideas together and launched Cypherpunk.
All right, Crypto 101 fam, a story I don't talk about at all is back in college, I played college football at a Division I level. Back then, I could eat whatever I want, hit the gym, do the program, and stay in great shape. I didn't even have to think about it. Now that I'm older, in my 30s, it's a totally different story. And nobody loves a good dad bod more than me. But with the summer coming up, I was thinking maybe I should lean out a little bit. And my friends and I started looking into how we could achieve this. And instead of going down this peptide route or testosterone route where you got to do all these needles and stuff, we didn't want to do that. We were looking for something more similar. And so that's where we found Mars Men. Listen, you lose muscle faster and store more fat as you get older. And a big reason for that is testosterone. Most guys' levels start dropping in their early 30s, and it makes it easier to gain fat, especially around the midsection. And the more fat you gain, the more your body converts testosterone into estrogen. It just makes it a never-ending cycle. But Mars Men, It's a natural supplement designed to support healthy testosterone levels, helping your body burn fat and build lean muscle more efficiently. No weird stimulants, just ingredients like Tongariri, zinc, and boron. Listen, I have friends that have taken this. They're saying they have more consistent energy. They're stronger in the gym. They have better focus, and they're leaning out a little bit as well. Less cravings, better recovery, just more dialed in overall. And listen, if you're interested in trying this, it's something that, again, you don't have to worry about needles and shots and peptides. It's just a pill. It's delivered to you, and there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk at all. Over 91% of users report higher energy, and the reviews speak for themselves. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and three free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off, three free gifts when you check out. And it's also available on Amazon. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Crypto 101 sent you. Again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off and free shipping for life, plus three free gifts. Go to mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts when you check out. Also, check them out on Amazon, and wherever you purchase it, tell them Crypto 101 sent you. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everyone's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures any workflow in real time and turns it into a step-by-step documentation automatically. You just turn on the extension, do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot. And it's already trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing, screenshots, and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. And Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps, bottlenecks, and places to simplify. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/crypto101. That's scribe.how/crypto101. When we started this podcast, it seemed like we had to figure it all out on our own. Scripts, setup, filming, schedules, logos. It was super overwhelming, and every day seemed to introduce a new decision that needed an answer. When you're starting off with something new, it seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and that list can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tools that not only helps you out, but simplifies everything can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the e-commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like us at Crypt Nation and the Crypto 101 podcast, where you can get our book and merch, to brands that are just getting started. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. Go to shopify.com/crypto101. That's shopify.com/crypto101.
Incredible. And kind of on the, kind of sticking with, the mispricings, if you will, of Zcash. What are we, you know, obviously it's had a very big run up from, like you said, kind of the $20 range to now sitting around $500 per token. But would you say that this is fair pricing? And again, not giving like, you know, investment advice or anything, or do you think that there is still some kind of mispricing in the market?
Yeah, it's still a very small asset as far as crypto assets go, as far as just global assets go.
Like it's couple billion dollar market cap, right? Relative to like Bitcoin's like 1 trillion.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit higher. I think it's closer to 8 or 10 billion as of we're recording this. But yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is so much larger in the trillions, like you said. And also that just pales in comparison to other, you know, sort of these other groupings of assets, right? Mm-hmm. If you just take sort of offshore wealth, which is maybe just like art that people are buying to hold their value in like some warehouse somewhere or things like that, like, you know, maybe, you know, other precious metals that are unaccounted for, maybe precious metals themselves, that's tens of trillions of dollars, right? So if investors and individuals are using those assets to have a private store of value, if you will, mm-hmm. to me, it's pretty reasonable to think that Zcash can be 1-3% of that larger market, which puts it at a much higher market cap.
Yeah, totally. And I think one of the big things that will unlock that value or that appreciation is going to come, and I'm not sure, it's a little nebulous in my mind right now, but some kind of like regulation that gives it the okay, or some kind of like court rulings that give it the okay. Because I know there it's been stymied by like some of the Tornado Cash stuff and the Samurai Wallet stuff, and there's been these things. And so I'm curious if like, and also like, like I run a fund as well, and they ask, like, when you're signing up with brokerages, they're like, do you trade privacy coins? And it's like, if you say yes, it's going to ask more questions and so on and so forth. And so you kind of just can't trade them, and a lot of the brokers won't trade them with you. And so is there like something in the Clarity Act or something that's, you know, maybe a little bit more under the radar to most people, but that you're focused on that will unlock some of that regulatory acceptance of these kind of investments?
Yeah, I think Clarity specifically is focused on a few other parts of sort of the crypto regulatory stack. So I don't think it's super focused on privacy. I am, though, extremely I am extremely optimistic on sort of the regulatory environment around privacy generally. And I think that would encapsulate privacy coins as well, right? I think the anecdotes that you're pointing to, which are super valid, I think it's just sort of everyone, you know, covering their backs because they don't know, you know, what actually the lay of the land is. Mm-hmm. I am optimistic that there's going to be a constructive regulatory environment around privacy coins, at least in the United States. I think an interesting example to point to on this is what the US did with HTTPS versus HTTP and secure internet browsing, right? So everyone was browsing via HTTP. It's, you know, it's unencrypted, right? HTTPS gets developed. Initially, the government was against its distribution and use, right? That was sort of their knee-jerk reaction. It only took them like a few weeks or a few months to realize that actually having the entire population of the United States, you know, browsing the internet and conducting business in a fully unencrypted, transparent way is just like this massive national security issue. Like, obviously, like you can't have like
bonkers.
China and yeah, it's crazy. So they flipped on it, and now they are like essentially mandating that all websites are secure with HTTPS. Mm-hmm. I have a sense that the same thing will happen with money. So in this case, privacy coins.
Yeah, no, it definitely. Kind of, you know, I wasn't really, you know, an investor in the markets back in 99. I was too young. But I've read about like the crypto wars, right? Where kind of to your point, the government was like basically saying like anything with encryption is like banned because it's like military grade stuff. And like, you know, bad people could get their hands on it and do bad things. But technology, you know, eventually the good guys won. And, you know, like you said, you know, encryption proliferated and it allowed people to use credit cards online and store data and pictures online and like do all these like great things that like we all know about, have passwords and internet, you know, just protected accounts and all that kind of stuff. And so I think definitely like over time, the government is really going to be, you know, accepting of this. They'll have another sort of aha moment and realize that, you know, privacy is for everybody. It's a fundamental right. And it's agnostic, right? Bad people do bad things with technology. Good people do good things with technology. But the technology in and of itself is not bad or good. And so I'm really excited about what you guys are building. And before we like, you know, dive deeper into Cypherpunk, is there any other sort of like outside of the privacy stuff that you guys are focused on? I know you mentioned defense tech and some other sectors. Are there any other sectors of crypto that are like kind of catching your eye?
In crypto, we are certainly on the Cypherpunk side. We are super focused on privacy, right?
Okay.
Like I do think that privacy is this like next wave of innovation, right? Where you had Bitcoin as sort of the first one. It was focused on store of value. Then you shifted to programmability, right? That's Ethereum. And then you shifted to programmability with scale. And that's Solana and, you know, three dozen others. So now the market is valuing privacy. So that's where I think most of the innovation is going to be happening.
I love it. So with Cypherpunk, are you guys, you know, I know the goal is to get to 5% of the overall total supply of Zcash. Are there other privacy related assets that you guys are accumulating? Are you guys also accumulating Bitcoin? What is maybe like the balance sheet or the portfolio of Cypherpunk look like?
Yeah. So today the vast majority of it is Zcash. We hold something like 313,000 Zcash. Like I mentioned earlier, it's just under 1.9% of the market. Over time, as we continue to accumulate more and more Zcash, we're also going to be making other privacy bets, right? So the first one, and I think probably the first handful, will be largely around Zcash, right? There'll be things that make Zcash more usable, more accessible, just a better experience that will contribute to adoption in a way that increases the value of our treasury, in addition to being a good venture investment or growth investment, whatever they end up being. The first one we've done, and which is an example of this, is into Zottl. So Zottl is essentially the most widely used and popular Zcash wallet and app. They just raised a pretty robust fundraise that we participated in. Cypherpunk invested $5 million. And so we're super bullish on that business because we think it can be the front end for privacy, right? So if you have this back end infrastructure, which is Zcash, right, you're going to need a really good front end interface. I think that's what Zottl will provide. In a very similar way to how the exchanges, Gemini, Coinbase, and the like, acted as the front end for Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin was the back end. The exchanges were the front end. They contributed to adoption. Without the exchanges, the adoption would have been much slower. We feel like this is going to play out again for Zcash and Zottl. Outside of Zottl, we're certainly evaluating the landscape of other privacy technologies, in it like around Zcash, but also outside of Zcash. I just think that you're going to want privacy preserving technologies for all parts of your life, right? You're going to want better privacy when you're browsing the internet, when you're communicating with friends. Some of these things already exist. We'll be looking to invest in them or acquire them. For things that don't exist, we'll be building them ourselves. So if you were to fast forward 5 or 10 years out, we think we will be a diversified holding company of privacy technologies.
That's incredible. And it sounds like, you know, when you look at the surface, it's like, oh, a digital asset treasury company for Zcash. It's, you know, MicroStrategy, but instead of for Bitcoin, it's for Zcash. But it sounds like it's like, you know, a lot more. Like you guys are making acquisitions and investments to an entire sort of ecosystem of privacy. And I'm curious in terms of like how you guys generate the money to buy these different assets. Are you guys issuing stock to then go buy assets like Zcash? Or are you guys doing like the convertibles or fundraising from other sources?
Yeah. So to date, we've been selling stock, raising equity to accumulate Zcash and make other investments. We have zero debt on the balance sheet. And that's not to say we'll never sort of use a convert or debt in the future. We're going to be super opportunistic about our fundraising, our fundraising mechanisms or sources of capital. We have a ton of demand for the stock in the public market. We also have a ton of great institutional friends and other investors that could be great fits. So that's to say, I think everything's on the table when it comes to fundraising and raising proceeds to deploy into privacy assets.
Yeah, I love it. And sort of in terms of like, I've heard this term that you've used called pro-entropic investing. And so this idea that Bitcoin and Zcash are chaos hedges. Tell us a little bit about what that concept is.
Yeah, so I stole this term, no shame, from Antonio Gracias, who's a wildly successful investor. I've learned a lot. I've never met him, but I've learned a lot from him from his content on the internet. The idea is that you want to hold assets that do very well during times of chaos, right? So you don't want to hold things that as soon as something bad happens, they just crumble. At the very least, you want to hold assets that when bad things happen, they can, you know, weather the storm. In sort of the version that we're thinking about, we want to own things that during chaotic times do even better, right? They outperform when there's chaos. If I were to marry that sort of strategy to just kind of an observation that I think a lot of us have had, is we are living in a period of time which is extremely chaotic, right? I'll speak for myself and say, like, my family. There's more chaos in the world today than there has been in, like, my parents' lifetime, right? And certain, obviously my lifetime too. So in a world where entropy and chaos are increasing, you really want to find these assets that are going to survive but also do very well, right? Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin and Zcash, I think, are certainly pro-entropic investments, right? They are assets that I think will do very well at this point in time, and that's been showed by both of them. Maybe they wouldn't have done that well in the 1950s and 1960s when chaos is much lower in the United States. So that really just attracts us to other types of assets. I think defense falls in that bucket. I think there's some applications of AI that fall in that bucket. We're super interested in things that fight biological entropy, which has been getting popular over the past year or so. How do we stave off sort of the chaos in our own bodies?
The longevity stuff, maybe?
Yeah, the longevity stuff, exactly, right? So we spend a lot of time thinking about that space. We are one of the only institutional investors in Blueprint, Brian Johnson's company, which we think will be a massive player in the sort of pro-entropic or the longevity space that is sort of staving off biological entropy. So that's sort of how I would frame it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy, Brian Johnson. He's got just such a wildly entertaining Twitter feed.
He's great.
Have you met him?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, certainly we keep in touch around the business, considering we're investors.
Yeah.
But he's great. He's certainly an N of one thinker. There's really zero people like him.
Yeah.
And for me, it's super important.
The most measured man in history. Super cool. But yeah, going back to privacy, Zcash, like, what would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions that like the average investor maybe has about privacy or has about Zcash in general?
So I think the average sort of investor doesn't, or put it this way, like the importance of privacy, I don't think is talked about enough, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is true for all privacy technologies, including privacy coins, right? Privacy truly is a prerequisite to many of the freedoms that we value, right?
Yeah.
So in the same way you value easy transportation and like delivery of goods and comfort in your home, all of those things have the technologies and companies focused on them. Privacy, despite being arguably more important than any one of those things, has a very short list of groups and companies and technologies focused on them. So I would sort of think about that. You alluded to one earlier, which is like, just because a technology can be used for a negative purpose doesn't mean we should throw it out and ignore all the benefits, right?
Look at guns, truly, right? It's the Second Amendment. Guns,
certainly guns, but also like there's plenty of examples, right? So if you go back throughout history, it's like when the automobile first came out, the headlines were like, oh, we can't allow cars or automobiles, whatever they call them. We can't allow cars because it's going to give the bank robbers an edge, and the bank robbers are going to get away too fast. How could the police ever keep up with the bank robbers when the police are just on cars? The police are just on horses. The horses are going to get tired, and the bank robbers are going to get away. So it's just a recurring story in sort of between society and technology and government. So I think that those are a couple of things I would highlight.
A tale as old as time. People are always scared of the unknown and things that are new. Going to like your portfolio, and of course you're a principal at Winklevoss Cap, and there's a very clear division there. But on the cypherpunk side of things, are you guys doing active yield generating strategies? Is there hedging? Like, what does that kind of look like? Or is it, buy and hold and just and kind of sit there on the coins?
Yeah, right now it's buy and hold. We're well capitalized. We're in a strong financial position such that we can buy Zcash and hold it for a decade or two decades, or we can hold it for the long term. Certainly everything's on the table. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the analogy. I love the sort of the early Berkshire Hathaway days analogy, which is Warren started with one or two or three assets. They were insurance companies. They sort of provided the base of capital. They appreciated in value. They also spit off cash flow. But he used his initial set of investments to act as a hub to build what we know as Berkshire Hathaway today. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity for us, and quite frankly, all DATs, if they sort of evolve in this way, to use their initial treasury, whether it's in Bitcoin or ZEC, or other asset, to use it as sort of the springboard for a much larger organization. So that's the vision, and that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And, like you said, you guys have maximum optionality, and there's everything is on the table, and you guys will kind of use your discretion. Now, I'm curious, like, in terms of like the Zcash ecosystem, I know you mentioned Zottle, and there's all sorts of different applications and stuff out there. What is kind of like the future of the Zcash ecosystem look like? Is it going to develop more like Ethereum, or more like Bitcoin? And maybe you could kind of like just paint your guys' vision of what it's going to be.
Yeah, so I do think it will be more like Bitcoin in the sense that the focus is on chiefly store of value, a private store of value, and then maybe secondarily private payments, right? Mm-hmm. I think today the focus is on store of value. There's a lot of work being done under the hood. For example, Project Tachyon is focused on scaling Zcash such that the transactions per second are higher and it is better for payments. So I don't envision a lot of programmable applications being built on Zcash. I think those things can be built separately and sort of integrated in. I do think it is core that the core what Zcash is best at is the private store of value, and it should focus on that. And I think that's mm-hmm. how it will play out. And then also payments.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's not going to be like Tor 2.0, where it's like you could browse the web over Zcash and have all these different applications. It's really going to just be like private money.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that it won't be integrated into Tor or another Mixnet or a super private VPN. That's not to say that Zcash won't be integrated into private communications applications like Signal or pick your one. Like Zcash is the private digital money, right? Mm-hmm. So it stands to reason that it should be integrated into the other private digital applications.
Yeah, and actually one thing that's interesting about Zcash is privacy is actually optional, as far as I understand it. They have like shielded addresses and unshielded addresses, I guess you would call it. Tell us a little bit about, I guess that decision. I don't think you were coding that decision, but maybe you could give us a little insight into like why that is. And then do you guys hold shielded or unshielded Zcash? And tell us a little bit about all that.
Yeah, so it's shielded and transparent wallets,
okay,
and or transactions. And that's sort of a massive differentiator between Zcash and other privacy coins like Monero, right? Mm-hmm. It is not privacy for the sake of like secrecy, right? It's not like I can send a totally secret transaction and like, no one can ever know about it. And like the implication there is that there's like some sort of like nefarious purpose involved in the transaction. With Zcash, everything's optional, right? So I can hold my Zec shielded or unshielded, transparent. I can do a transaction shielded or transparent. So what that means is it's just a much more flexible platform for just a normal person who just wants a normal amount of privacy, right? Mm-hmm. I can send you Zach shielded because like, why should anyone have to know that, I bought a sofa from you or whatever. But at the same time, at the end of the year, when I need to show my accountant that I bought the sofa, I have the ability to still show them that transaction, right? Mm-hmm. These transactions aren't totally secret. They're just private. They're the way financial transactions should be.
Yeah. Do you foresee like institutions getting on board, meaning some of these large banks or other funds, even nation states wanting to transact in Zcash? Is that part of the goal, or is it just sort of like for the everyday person?
I think everyone demands some amount of privacy, right? Whether you're a country or an individual or a company, you're going to want privacy. I mean, it is sort of funny to think that, over the past handful of years, like people have been really pushing, for example, like stablecoin payroll for companies, right? Oh, you like pay your employees with stablecoins. It seems like super rational, super normal, but actually it's like not normal at all, because then you just think like, oh, well, I can't do that because I'd just be broadcasting everyone's salaries on like yeah. Ethereum. Like obviously I can't do that, right? So there is a place for privacy for everyone.
Are there other coins. So like insofar as like Ethereum has like all these different little tokens and they have stable coins on top of Ethereum, are there stable coins on top of Zcash, or would that kind of defeat the purpose?
Yeah, there aren't. No, it would certainly, I think, like if you want to be swapping between Zcash and stable coins, that's fine. I mean, stable coins like have a ton of attack vectors. I mean, they're essentially like sanctioned. I know there's sanctioned government coins or like CBDCs, right? The government can still just shut them off. Maybe there's a couple intermediaries in between, but Zcash just sort of stands on its own.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome. And then just kind of in terms of like how you guys are looking at, you know, the rest of 2026, what your guys' plans are at Cypherpunk. How much can you share with us here on the show of what the next 6 months are going to look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I can't sort of give the full roadmap. There's a lot of people on X that messaged me looking for the full roadmap.
You're like, join the public earnings calls and then you'll be able to find out with the rest of the world.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think it's going to be a very exciting year. We're going to continue to march towards our goal of accumulating at least 5% of the Zcash network. I think there will be other super exciting investments that we make. We're really canvassing the whole privacy landscape. We're talking to everyone. So there's going to be a lot of things to be excited about on that front. And then I'm just generally bullish on the sector and Zcash, right? I think we are at this point in time when privacy is being like actually recognized as an important thing. And I think it's just started. We're in like the first or the second inning. Again, total decline over the past 20 years. No one's been thinking about it. And so we're at the early innings of a really cool trend reversal when it comes to privacy.
Love it. We're taking back the power to the people. And I kind of just wanted to close on I guess a couple personal questions. How has it been being part of and, you know, C-suite of a public company? Because I believe this is the first public company that you've sort of represented. What's it like, you got a public ticker now. I'm sure it's life is a lot different.
It is exciting. Obviously, there's a lot of additional things you have to think about. We got super when we sort of launched Cypherpunk, we partnered with an existing public company, and the benefit of that is we got executives that have been public market executives for like over a decade, right? So I learn a ton from them when it comes to the sort of the internal operations of a public company, whether it's audits or you know, public filings, et cetera. And then I like to think I'm bringing sort of the crypto and the investment prowess for the business. So we make a super good team, but yeah, to your point, it's an exciting thing. It's totally different from a private company.
Very cool. And then last question, for our listeners who are really interested in learning more about just like the philosophy of privacy that you guys all subscribe to, what's like one good book or what's a, I don't know, like not magazine, but like what's like a piece of media that you guys like listen to and stay up to date on? So it's like a book and then like a modern day sort of media that like gives good info on all this stuff.
So I'll give you a lot of the stuff that I read is sort of longer form on the internet. There is a really good book. I think it's called, I read it a bit ago, called Surveillance Capital. That's not exactly, that's more sort of the economic rationale for a lack of privacy. I think that's important too. I would get super deep into the sort of the privacy philosophy of like Balaji or Naval, or some of these people in the crypto privacy space that have been talking about it for a few years now. Those have been like the most informative for me.
Love it. And then what links can we put in the show notes for folks to follow you, or where's the best place to kind of stay up to date on everything that you're working on?
Yeah, so I would take a look at our website, cypherpunk.com. And then you can find me on X also, in addition to our Cypherpunk X account.
Nice. Actually, question I was going to ask earlier, what is a cypherpunk?
So the cypherpunks were like the OG cryptographer / like freedom fighters, if you will. They weren't just focused on cryptography for the tech. They were focused on cryptography and encryption for like the benefit that it would have for humanity.
Awesome. So it's an homage. I love it. Well, Mr. Will McAvoy, we really appreciate your time today coming on the show. I hope everybody who was listening enjoyed as much as I did. Go to cypherpunk.com, check them out. And Will, we hope to have you back on again soon.
Cool. Thanks, Bryce.